Good morning, everyone. Okay, it's great to be with you again this morning. And man, just had an amazing weekend with you guys. It was so much fun, and just loved the fellowship, just loved what the Lord did here. And I hope you feel refreshed and stirred up in Him. I do, so it's always great. Like I always tell my wife, I don't know if you're having fun, but I'm definitely having fun, right? So I'm going to enjoy myself whether you do or not, right? So, because how can it be not fun to talk about Jesus and what He's doing, right? So this morning, I loved that prophetic word. So Lomkhari came and said, you need to respond to this. I'm like, I'm not exactly sure how. And then I thought about what I want to share this morning, and I feel it's tying in together quite nicely, right? So because what I want to touch on this morning is actually kind of, it's a make or break topic, and it's something we don't talk about, well, maybe you do, but it's something we don't talk about too much in the circles that I move in. So I hope that it's going to kind of tie, I know it will tie in, and that you kind of draw the lines in that. But as we're worshiping here, I'm just kind of thinking again, like, I think it's so real that something, that there's something coming in the Spirit, there's something in the Lord that is about to happen over our nation and over the nations. Because listen, whether you're in South Africa, or it doesn't really matter where in the world you are, things aren't great at the moment, right? It's like nowhere where you're going and like thinking, oh man, I really want to move there. It looks really peaceful. It's like that place does not exist, right? It's just a mess everywhere. My wife was on the phone for an hour or two last night with one of her really good friends that lived in Kiev. And 6 months ago, they've never seen their house again. Her and her husband, they've got two little children our children's age. They've been separated now for 6 months, haven't seen each other because he's not allowed to leave the Ukraine. And it's just chaos. There's just chaos everywhere. So it's nowhere that you go, oh wow, this is perfect right here. You know, everywhere is a bit of a battle. And it's okay because the Lord is shaking things, the Lord is stirring things, the Lord is doing stuff. And I'm not saying it's Him causing wars, that's not it. But surely He's using it to break open a reality in our own hearts, to expose our own hearts, to go, okay, but what do we value in life? Like, what is really important, you know? Because we talk about revival and we want to see revival and all of that, and I'm, you know, first in line when it comes to that topic. I want to see it with all my heart. But at the beginning of the year, the Lord just spoke to me and said, but you're not ready for it. I felt very insulted by that statement. I thought, Lord, surely that's not true. I've been talking about it my whole preaching life. And, and the Lord goes, you're not ready. And me, including the church. And everything that we're doing at the moment, I believe, is in preparation for the outpouring or the move of the Spirit that's coming. And that's why it's kind of different topics that we're talking about. It's different things that's suddenly stirring in our hearts. It's, you know, oneness in the body. It's all these kind of things that's real at this point in time, because that's where the Lord is, you know, that's the things He's touching on, because He's preparing His bride for something, and He wants a bride who is ready when that midnight shout comes that I spoke about on Friday night, so that we will have oil, so that we're ready, right? So everything we're doing is in preparation for that moment. But, you know, a story that's kind of been like on my heart a little bit is, I've been looking at the life of Moses. I don't know, Moses is just, I love the first five books of the Bible. I don't know about you, but man, they're just awesome, right? It's some of the wildest stories in the Bible is right there in the first five books. And sometimes we read over them and we're like, oh, that's normal. But if you go like, what happened? You know, like, what did you do, Moses? So, and it's these wild stories, you know, the 10 plagues. I mean, it's just everything about Exodus and Deuteronomy and all of this stuff is just crazy, right? And then you find this little verse in Numbers 12, verse 3. You all know about it, where it says that Moses, and remember, Moses wrote this, right? So it's a bit weird, that Moses is the most humble man that walked the face of the earth. And you go, okay, that's bizarre, right? Because, you know, that just, in our minds, that immediately sounds like, Moses, I feel like you just lost it right there, right? You know, the very statement that you made kind of went, you know. But the reality is that it's a true statement, and that he could say it with boldness and with confidence. And it's actually a beautiful thing about humility. True humility is full of confidence. Yeah? True humility is full of boldness. True humility can speak the truth without compromise. Yeah? Jesus is the absolute image of humility, yet he takes on whomever, you know, it doesn't matter in which circumstance, he's not a pushover. Can we all just agree that humility doesn't make you a pushover? Okay? Because that's kind of the picture. Because lots of people will look at personality types and go, oh, you're really humble. No, he's just quiet. He doesn't speak. Doesn't make him humble. Sometimes the most proud people can be the nicest people because they're very gentle, but behind your back, they're going to gun you, you know? And the guys that is like out there and extrovert personalities, you think, oh man, this guy's absolutely such an arrogant guy. But he's actually the most truthful guy because he's just, you know, saying what's actually happening. He's sticking to the truth, where the other guy is not talking the truth and he's saying it behind your back. So who do you want to deal with, Robert? Yeah? So don't let personality types create the image of humility because it's not really true. You know, very quiet, introverted people can be very prideful. Agreed? Where very extroverted people can be very prideful too. But Moses goes, I'm the most humble guy that walks the face of the earth. And it's like, interesting statement. Except if it's the truth. Then it's a humble statement. That's interesting. Yeah? So truth and humility goes hand in hand. But I kind of looked at this verse and I'm thinking, why is Moses the most humble guy that walked the face of the earth? Have you ever thought about it? He makes a statement, great. It's like me saying, you know, if I go, I'm like the fastest man on the earth, then surely you want to see some results, right? Otherwise, I'm just lying to you. So what is it that God sees in Moses that the Lord goes, man, this guy's really humble, right? Because, and as I think of the story of his life, then suddenly you jump back and you go, okay, but think of his beginning days, the days, you know, that he got called, because somehow you want to skip to that a little bit, right? Like Exodus, what's it, chapter 3, where the burning bush experience is at, and Moses walks and he, you know, take off your shoes, holy ground, the whole story, the burning bush, the Lord speaks to him out of the bush, all of that stuff, and Moses goes, And I mean, think about this for a minute. God speaks to this guy. He's 80 years old. He's, you know, he's in the back of a wilderness. He's been there for 40 years. He's, you know, what a story. I mean, can we remember, this is quite a story. Let's not get tired of these stories. It's a phenomenal story. I mean, put in a basket, you know, ended up being the prince of Egypt, then killed somebody, ran to the wilderness, you know, just this obscure life of 40 years, you know, gets a burning bush and the Lord of all creation shows up speaking out of a burning bush and he goes, hey buddy, you know, I have a calling for you. Yeah, you're going to free my nation. I mean, what the heck do you do with that? It's like, you know, listen, I've called you to liberate a nation. That's your calling. Go for it. Knock it out of the park. That's not like, I need you to go to the street corner and all due respect, I need you to go to the street corner and go and feed the homeless guy there. This is like, hey, you're going to free a nation out of the hands and the grips of the most powerful nation on the world. Yay. And like, me and what army, Lord? No, it's just me and you, Moses. The two of us. We're going to do it. Right? And in our minds, we want to go maybe to that moment and say, okay, because Moses goes, no, Lord, I'm not the guy. You remember, he's like, basically, I'm not the guy, because it's a big calling. It's like, yeah, I don't know. No, I'm the wrong guy. You know, I can't even speak properly. You know, I'm not the guy. So in our hearts, we want to look at that maybe and go, oh, maybe that's humility. But that wasn't humility, because the Lord flat out rebuked him. I mean, the Lord was so upset with him. Like, he actually lost his temper a little bit, if you can. Like, he's like, dude, I've spoken to you. I'm going to be with you. Shut up. We're going to do this, right? So that was not humility. I want you to see that. Underestimating yourself in the Lord is not humility. It's pride. It's pride. And what does Scripture say? He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's a frightening verse. It's a frightening verse. James 4:6. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So literally, it means like when I'm walking in pride, I become an enemy of God. Yeah? And pride in the life of Moses in that moment was, I'm not good enough. Whoo! I'm shy. I remember when I got born again, I was shy. I'm actually an introvert, so I had to grow so much. I had to change so much, and the Lord did it. But like, I'm a caveman, to be quite honest with you. I'm like super happy, just me, myself, and I for long. I mean, before I got married, I would go away for 3 days on my own. Just, you know, go to a little cabin in Dullstrom and just spend time with the Lord for 3 days. No people, no cell phone signal. I would be so happy. You know, it was a dream. You know, so, but I was also shy. And like, I'll never forget it. We were having this prophetic school, and I was hungry for the Lord, man, and just wanting to see more of God in my life. And I started ministering and pray for people, and people would fall over, and people would manifest, and miracles would happen, and all this, you know, like super exciting stuff for me. But I'm always like a guy, like, if you pray for me, I'm not going to go down. No. Right? Because firstly, I'm not, you know, I just, even if it is the power of God, I'm going to resist it because I don't want to be embarrassed in front of people, right? Because I'm shy. But what is the root of shy? Is you're self-centered. Your self-preservation is what shy is about. It's like, oh, I don't want to look bad in front of people. Yeah? And that's pride. Because pride is about me. Pride is about me. Moses was prideful in that moment, going, oh no, I'm not the guy. And what is the Lord's response? Oh, shame, Moses. Oh, shame. No, it's okay, man. Now the Lord is like, dude, I'm rebuking you. What the heck's wrong with you? I said I'm going to be with you. Get on with it. So I'm in that space, and I'm sitting in this, it's like 150 people, this prophetic school there in Pretoria, and this guy from Middelburg is preaching. And it's funny, when he takes the mic, I'm going, oh, this is not going to end well for me. I just knew this guy is going to, he's going to pick me out of the crowd, and he's going to let me stand there, and he's going to do stuff, you know, minister to me in front of everybody. And I'm the shy guy. I don't want this, right? You know, and I just knew it's happening. And as I feel it, the Lord goes to me and he says, would you let me do to you whatever I want, because I know what you need. And I'm going, and I knew what he was dealing with me about. It was my pride. It was my pride. It was my self-preservation. And I just go, oh, Lord, you're going to embarrass me, aren't you? He's like, no, I'm going to give you what you need. I'm like, ah, Jehovah sneaky. I know what you're doing, yeah? So I'm like, Lord, okay, if this is what I need to see more of you in my life, if it's something that you want to break, then okay, do whatever you want. And I mean, we just finished the conversation. The Lord goes, you over there. The guy goes through me like, you over there. You've been bothering me all night. I'm going, oh, man. It's a weird guy. So he gets me up and he's like, come over here. Everybody's watching. It's not like everybody's watching. It's just me and him. I'm going, oh, okay. So I start walking down to him. I give about 2-3 steps. And the next minute, he just points his finger at me and he starts prophesying. And the power of God hits me and I'm down on the floor. Everybody's watching and I'm shaking like a crazy person. I'm just going, oh, Jesus, please let it be worth it, right? Anyway, it was such an amazing encounter for me with the Lord that night, and it did change my life. But he broke pride out of my life in that moment in a specific area. You see, we've got to watch out for this thing. Because so often we limit ourselves and what the Lord can do through us because of pride, and we actually resist the Lord and he opposes us in that moment as well. And we're not stepping out because of all our excuses and all our stuff about, you know, what God has for me and what he can do and can't do through me. And we are actually the issue. We're the issue, you know. So my point being that was not the reason why Moses can say, I'm humble. That was not it, right? Because that was actually pride. So I keep going like, okay, but why is it that Moses can say, I'm the most humble man on the earth? Because it bothers me. I want to understand why. And for some reason, the Lord keeps taking me to Exodus chapter 33. And you can open there. I'm probably not going to read it because you all know the story. So we're just going to talk about it, right? Exodus chapter 33 is the beautiful moment, verse 18, where Moses is in intercession for the nation of Israel, right? So already there's a beautiful moment where he says, Lord, rather remove me from the face of the earth, but keep your people, right? That's already a super powerful moment. That's a man that has character, maturity, and humility that says, I laid down my life for a people. So definitely there is a sign of humility. But what actually gets me more than anything else is verse 18, where Moses goes, Lord, show me your glory. Okay? And the Lord started speaking to me about the humility in that. And this is what I want to talk to you guys about. If we want to see a new thing, if we want to see God move in ways that we haven't seen, if we lose this heart of humility that he displays here, we're going to miss the bus. Right? Moses just came off of a 40-day encounter with God on the mountain. Right? Moses went up the mountain when nobody else wanted to. I mean, he's walking in the thick smoke, in the cloud. He's face-to-face with God for 40 days and 40 nights on a mountain, right? I mean, it says that he walked on sapphire stones. I don't know where in the world he ended up, but I know Mount Sinai, he didn't have sapphire stones as a floor on it. So I don't know where Moses went to, but it was glorious. So for 40 days and 40 nights, Moses is sitting with God, and God is giving him the Ten Commandments and the law and just speaking to him. And after all of that, Moses comes off the mountain, you know, breaks the tablets of stone because he's angry with Aaron and this stupid golden calf, right? He's frustrated and, you know, he wants to kill all of them. And then he goes, oh, shouldn't kill them, you know, Lord, have mercy on them, intercedes for them. And then he goes, show me your glory. And I go, what didn't you see? You're 40 days and 40 nights in a face-to-face encounter like almost no man has had on the earth. And still, he comes out of it and he goes, there's something I haven't seen in the Lord. That's humility. That's humility. He's like, after everything I've experienced, after everything I've seen, there's something about your nature that I still don't get. Please show that to me. I believe that's why Moses can say he's the most humble man on the face of the earth. Right? 1 Corinthians 8 speaks about it. It says, there is a knowledge that comes that puffs us up. And this is what it is. Like, we get understanding about God. We have a revelation of the Lord. We had experiences with God. We have a story with the Lord. And then suddenly we go, okay, I have God figured out. We don't say it like that, but that's what happens in our hearts and in our minds. Go, okay, now I've seen it all. And we stop at a certain place and we think, okay, I've had experiences, I've had encounters, I've seen God do miracles, or I you know, remember in 1988 when the Lord did that? That was glorious. And we're done. I'm like, dude, that's, you know, 35 years ago. Surely we can't be living out of 1988's revelation or moment or encounter and say that was the high point of our walk with the Lord. That's not right. You know, if we get stuck in that way, we're actually stuck in pride again, because it's knowledge, it's a moment, and it's revelation that came, but it actually puffed us up. It made us prideful. And what does that do? It breaks down the body. It breaks unity in the body. Because I have something that you don't have, but I'm stuck and I'm not willing to move forward in the Lord. Where Moses is 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain, he sees the glory of the Lord, he sees the face of the Father, and he goes, oh, there's something I don't know yet. I want it. That is special. That is humility. 1 Corinthians 8 speaks about, he says, there's another knowledge, another way that comes, but it produces love in us. Right? But pride puffs us up. It's a knowledge that puffs us up. It builds us into pride. So my spiritual knowledge, my spiritual, you know, experience or walk with the Lord, or my years in ministry, or my years in the Word as a family, or my years in business, or whatever it might be, like, I've got it figured out. Look what the Lord has done in my life, and I'm done. So my journey don't progress. Isn't that frightening? You know, it's not. We can't live from that place. If we're not going to walk in humility, if we're not going to say, Lord, surely there's stuff that I haven't seen, that I haven't experienced, we become an opponent of the Lord, and the grace is withdrawn from our life. But when we humble ourselves, there's more grace. When we say, Lord, I don't have it figured out. Are you okay? So Moses goes into this thing and he's like, Lord, I've got to see it. And here's the beauty of the story. I want you to see the reward, because pride, like I say, pride limits my spiritual growth. Pride isolates me from the body. And who knows that all sin is rooted in pride? Did you realize that? That is the main sin. That's it. Right? That is what made Satan fall. Right? Ezekiel 28, it speaks about it. It's a fascinating piece of scripture, Ezekiel 28, right? Just write it. Sorry. I'm not going to read it. You can go and read it yourself. Ezekiel 28 from verse 14 onwards. It speaks of, it's kind of a weird prophecy, because it starts with this certain, you know, the prince of king of Tarsus, and then it goes over into Lucifer. And you go, okay, what just happened there? Anyway, and then it starts speaking about the fall of Lucifer. And it says this thing. It says, oh, you glory, you know, oh, cherubim that was covered with the glory of the Lord. It says, you walked in front of the throne. You walked on the precious stones in front of the thrones, and your wings were covered with gold. And he describes the beauty of the angel Lucifer before he fell. The brilliance of him, like the giftings that was upon him, how loved he was by God. And he just describes him over and over. And then suddenly this phrase comes out and it says, but you lifted your heart in pride in the presence of the Lord. And I kicked you out. Isn't that something? It's bizarre, because the exact thing that God gives us to bless us with becomes the thing that we get prideful about in the presence of the very one that gave it to us. Isn't it weird? It's like God graced us with gifts. He graced us with anointings, whatever it is. If it's to be a brilliant businessman, a brilliant farmer, a brilliant teacher, a brilliant doctor, a brilliant minister, whatever it is, he blessed you, sport, whatever abilities, gift sets he's placed on us, he places it on us for his glory. But it glorifies, and then we start glorifying ourselves, and we lift our heart in the presence of the Lord, and he goes, I cannot deal with that. Just remember, there is nothing more opposing to the nature of God than pride. I want to say that again. Nothing is more opposite to God's nature than pride. Nothing. There is not a shred of pride in God. Never. And when we display pride, we are opposing his very nature 100%. 100%. But he gives us the stuff, and suddenly it puffs us up in the presence of the very king, of the very one that gave it to us, instead of making us humble like Moses and go, oh wow, if I've seen this, what else is there to see? I need to see it. I need to see it. Frightening verses in Daniel chapter 5, verse 20. I'm going to read it to you. If I can find... Okay, I found it. It's speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, and it says, but when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit became so proud that he behaved arrogantly, he was deposed from his royal throne, and his glory was taken away from him. Guys, isn't it frightening? Like, I speak this, I just want to say, I've preached this, like, this is the third time I'm preaching this, and every time I feel like this thing is cutting me intensely deep. So it's not just for you. This thing is cutting both ways, and every time I'm frightened when I speak about it. But that somebody can lose his throne in a moment because God goes, what's that creeping in your heart? What's happening inside of you? We've got to guard our hearts. We must display the nature of God, right? We must. Proverbs 13, verse 10 in the King James, it says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." So what is it saying? All strife, all conflict, all contention, the root is pride. All of it. Because what does pride do? Pride does this when my wife tells me that what you did hurt me. When pride goes, "No, but that's not what I meant." And I'm on the defense. I'm like, but that's not what I said. You hurt me wrong. I would never do that to you. That's not the point. The point is you hurt her. Whether you meant it or you didn't mean it, what's the difference? It doesn't make a difference. She felt hurt by what you did. And unless you're humble enough, you cannot hear her speak. And you cannot get to the root of the issue. But pride goes, "Oh, I'm disagreeing with you, and now because you disagree with me, I'm going to stand up in self-righteousness because of my pride. I'm going to defend myself, and boy, don't come over this line because woohoo, the tiger is going to come out." You know, that's what pride does. Pride doesn't allow for open conversation. Pride doesn't allow for people to share their hearts. Pride doesn't allow for spiritual growth. Because pride goes, "You can teach me nothing. I have it figured out because I had an encounter in 1995. Yeah? And suddenly I shut myself off from any new life that the Lord wants to bring on my path because I think of a, in a way I'm puffed up with knowledge and I'm thinking in a way that I shouldn't. And that's not the heart of the Lord. It's not His heart. You know? It's fascinating because Moses goes, show me your glory. Are you alive? Are you guys okay? He goes, "Show me your glory." Right? And then the Lord starts dealing with him. The Lord says, "Okay, Moses, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to move by you, but you cannot see my face because you're going to die, right? You all remember stories. I'm going to put you here in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to move by you, and then when I move by you, I'll show you my back parts, and I'll show you my nature." That's what it, you know, Hank's free translation. That's what it comes down to, chapter 33. So it's amazing because then, if you look at chapter 34, that's exactly what happens. You know, Moses is standing in the cleft of the rock, and God moves by him, right? And the Lord moves past him, and listen to how he describes himself. I want you to hear something here. Verse 6, it says, verse 5, "Then the Lord," chapter 34, "Then the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with Moses as he proclaimed the name of the Lord." That's an interesting, phrase, right? "Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious.'" Listen to the words. "Compassionate and gracious. Slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, keeping mercy and loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But he will not by no means leave the guilty unpunished," etc., etc. Verse 8, "Moses bowed to the earth immediately and worshipped the Lord." Man, and I'm looking at this and I'm going, wow, there's something about this thing is triggering me. What did he see? Because the nature that he describes sounds very familiar to me. It sounds like somebody I knew. And I started looking into this thing a little bit. I spoke to a Hebrew scholar in America, so he agrees, okay? So, so I feel like I have a bit of permission to go after this. And I'm looking at that thing where it says, and the Lord says, "I will show you my back part." Now, it's interesting, in Hebrew, that means past, but it also means things to come. Because the back means he's in front, and I'm looking into the future, into the back of that person. You understand? And the next minute, I'm going, "Lord, I get what he saw, but what made Moses drop after 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain and all of this?" And suddenly, I went into a vision, and I look. And as I see the back, I see Moses in the rock, and I see the Lord passing and his back passing. The next minute I see the back, and I see how the back is whipped, right? And blood is coming out of the back, and the cross is on it, and I realize he saw Jesus. Moses had a revelation of Jesus in that moment Because what does Hebrews 1 say? That Jesus is the face and the image of God. And what does he say? He says he is the glory of God. Hebrews 1 verse 3. And Moses goes, show me your glory. And in that moment, Moses got a revelation of the Son of God who is to come, who is to bring mercy, compassion, and salvation to all. And he drops to his knees and he worships God because he saw the Savior. Right? Something shifted in the life of Moses. He never saw that before on the mountain. And suddenly, because of his hunger, he's allowed to look into a covenant, into a time that doesn't even exist in his present day. And the Lord allows him grace to see the cross and something that is to come. Isn't that phenomenal? But imagine he stopped after 40 days and 40 nights and went, oh man, I saw sapphire stones, I saw smoke, I saw his feet, I'm done. But Moses is humble enough to be hungry enough to press on, and suddenly he gets a revelation that moves him into the greatest moment in history, the death and resurrection of the Son of God, the salvation for all mankind. Pride withholds us from moments like these. It withholds us. And the most humble person on the face of the earth in that time is Moses. And who does he get to see? The most humble one to ever live, the Son of God. Because listen to what Jesus says. It's phenomenal. Matthew 11, 28, 29, 30. You remember he says, you know, come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden. And you know, if you're tired and weary, and I will give you rest. Like my yoke is easy, you know all of that. But there's a phrase in there where Jesus goes, he says, come and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. The God of all creation, the most powerful being that lives, and he goes, you should come to me. You know why? Because I'm gentle and I'm humble. By the way, if you see somebody minister or lead, and he says he's a Christian, but you don't see gentleness and humility in him, watch out maybe. Because Jesus says, that's the reason why you should learn from me. I'm gentle and I'm humble. And unless we display gentleness and humility, we're not displaying our King right. And I'm not talking about being a marshmallow. That's not what I mean, because Jesus wasn't one. I'm not talking about being a pushover, because the last thing we need is pushover Christians at this point in time. That is absolutely not what we need. What we need is people that is humble enough to not move from the truth, because that's boldness that comes only through humility. Right? To not move from the truth. Jesus never moved from the truth. He never moved from the mission because he was so humble. This is the key. Humility makes you walk in obedience because you understand the one that has spoken is greater than you are, so you cannot move from that word. You get it? Humility goes, this is who I am, I understand who I am, but the one who commissioned me is greater than I am, and I'm not going to oppose that word. I'm not going to go against this book at all. I'm not moving against this word because I'm in humility, and he's greater than I am. His word is higher than I am. His ways are higher than mine. Therefore, I bow, and I do what he says. You know, one of my worst moments is when I sit with people and I do counseling, which I don't do a lot, and therefore I'm grateful that there's counselors in the world, because I don't have the patience, right? Because I'm the kind of guy like, but we spoke about this once now, why is it not better, you know, which is not always right, but I'm just like, ugh. Or I come like, it's still not better. I'm like, but have you fasted for 3 days? What have you done? Like, oh, no, nothing. I'm like, dude, that's why not? You know, I'm not good at this stuff, right? Because to me, it's like, the word says it, let's do it and let's move on. That's kind of the way it is. I'm sorry if that offends you, but that's the way I think, right? Because for some reason, I do believe that this is the absolute authority. And to you, it looks like arrogance. To me, it's humility. Because if this book says, if you don't forgive someone, you're going to be handed over to the torturers, and you come to me and I say, dude, you need to forgive them. Oh, no, but you don't know what they did to me. I'm like, well, I don't know, but there you go. Enjoy the torturers. Right? It was never about comfort, because that's actually pride. Because that's you going, I hear what God says, but no, I'm not going to do it. You shouldn't hate people from other color groups and food groups and ethnic groups. Yeah, but they do this. Well, enjoy. And then you don't understand why you don't have peace in your life. The word says it. Humility obeys it. Pride opposes it. The word says, do marriage this way. Yeah, but it's old school. Okay, enjoy. We'll talk in 10 or 20 years and see how that went for you. Another guy said the other day, we'll talk at the throne room. You see, humility positions us to see something we've never seen. But pride always pulls us out of it. I mean, how is it? John 13 is the story where they call it, like lots of scholars, when you talk about John 13, they call it the miracle of humility. Isn't it beautiful? It's the story where Jesus went and he started washing the feet of his disciples. And the King of Kings puts the towel around his arms and he just gets on his knees and he washes those dirty feet. And I love Peter. I know we've touched on it a little bit, but Peter, you know, in that moment, like, you will never wash my feet. You're not going to do that. And Jesus goes, Peter. Because what is Peter doing again? Peter is an opportunist. I'm telling you, he's a businessman, I'm sure. Because Peter is going, you're washing all of their feet and they're allowing it. I'm gonna outdo all of them. No, Lord, you won't wash mine. Come on, that's ridiculous. A king doesn't wash the feet. Actually, he's going, John, you guys should have said this, but you didn't. Lord, you're not going to wash my feet, right? And Jesus looks at him. Peter is so funny. And Jesus looks at him and he's like, Peter, you're not getting what I'm doing here. Unless I wash your feet, you cannot be part of me. Whew, you got to hear that. Unless I wash your feet, you cannot be part of me. What is he saying? Unless you allow humility to serve you in this moment, you're not part of me. So if you stand up in pride against something that I want to do for you in this moment, sorry, you are not part of me. It's a hectic word, right? And then Peter, goes, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Not my feet only, but wash all of me. So again, Peter is just like all over the show. He's like, okay, in that case, then John, you should have let him wash all of you, right? And Jesus is like, oh, Peter, I already gave you the word. You're washed. Just sit down and let me just wash your feet. Calm down, man. You know, love Peter. But isn't it funny how we can be like that? How the Lord wants to bless us, but our pride goes, mm-mm. And pride can look different. It's going to be like, oh, I'm going to look better than John. Or pride can look like, oh no, I'm not worthy. But Jesus says, I need to do this. I want to do this to you. Right? And we go, uh-uh. I'll never forget it. Years back, a guy came to me, a very prophetic friend of mine. And he sat with me and he just started talking. And we were going through a bit of a hard time, just like busy and just a lot of things happening and pain in the ministry and, you know, all that normal things of life. And and he sat and he looked at me and he just went and he said, Hank, I see like Jesus is coming and he's sitting and he wants to wash your feet. I was so offended by it. I just couldn't handle it. And suddenly something broke inside of me and I realized, you know, we have a king that is so humble that he sometimes knows that all I need is just somebody to wash my feet because I've been hurting. And he's removing the dust of the pain of the walk of the last couple of years. And he's just washing it away. And if I can just sit there, we're going to be okay. Some of you are missing out on your healing of your heart because of pride. Some of you are missing out on physical healing because of pride. I'm sitting last year. I tell a story. Is that okay? I don't know what time it is. So I'm sitting, at the end of last year, we were working in our villages here in Vetranskaya, and those of you who don't know, we have a missions work that we started there, and churches that we're planting, and just stuff that we're doing on that side. So village life is not always easy. It's a little bit challenging at times, a little bit would be an understatement, but anyway. And but it was end of last year, so we've been there for a couple of months straight now, and it's been going well and hard and all of the things together. And towards the end of the year, we have a prophetic school with our people from the villages. It was so beautiful. All these old mamas coming, and you know, we're just hearing about the voice of God for the first time. It was beautiful. We had so much fun. And then the Sunday morning, it was just before the final session. We quickly have a break, and one of our buckies is standing outside, the one that we use to transport the people around. And I'm going, man, you know, there's lots of people in the back. I'm not going to tell you how many because it's not exactly legal. But it's village. It's like a farm. You can't say anything. And and anyway, and I realized, man, these tires are flat. I need to inflate them real quick. And my team is busy all over. And I thought, well, it's going to take 2 minutes. Let me just quickly do it. So I get the compressor, like this big, nice 4x4 compressor travel thing that a friend gave to me. And I mean, I've done it 100 times, right? It's not like it's complicated. You put the thing on the battery, you plug it in, you know, there you go. So I've done it how many times in my life? But this day is quiet. Like, it's so weird. Nobody's near. Nothing's happening. Anyway, I don't want to get into too much detail. I do it. The last tire I'm doing, the little monkey clips jumps off, you know, which also happens. Nothing new. That's happened before. And I see it jump off, and I'm walking closer to, you know, just put it back on like we always do. And the next minute, I've spoken to lots of people. You can comment if you want. But the next minute, and I've never heard of anybody that this happened with, the clip falls into the fan of the engine. And I'm going, oh, this is not good. You know? But I'm too close now, and everything starts happening in slow motion. And then I'm thinking in my head, I'm going, well, that's like a 5mm cable. Surely that thing is just going to snap off. But didn't snap off. It got wound up in the engine. It lifts the compressor, this thing, metal thing. It lifts it off the ground, hits me on the top of my head, seizes the engine. By the way, it's a Toyota. The Toyota is still running. Right? Seizes the engine, and I'm out on the ground. I'm like blood all over. It's an absolute mess. So we're in the village now. It's, you know, I've got this cut on my head, like, I don't know, 15 or, no, I got 22 staples in there. It looks horrible. Anyways, it's just a mess, right? So it's, and this is how the year ends. So I'm like, oh, that's the, now I have a concussion. It's just, you know, the whole thing. So anyway, long story short, so I'm sitting at our home. We're back in the city. My wife goes to a birthday party of a girl that used to be in our foster care, and they go to the birthday party with my kids, and I'm just like, listen, I'm staying at home. It's a Saturday morning. I'm just going to sit here and feel sorry for myself a little bit, all right? And I'm sitting there, and we have these two chairs. It's like our coffee chairs at home. And I'm sitting on the chair, and I'm just reading Bible and just trying to spend some time with the Lord, but I'm hurting, right? Not just because of this. It was just a heck of a year, and that didn't help, right? We lost leaders, we lost people, it's this, it's that. It was just rough. It was just a rough year. And I'm sitting there, and I'm telling you this because I want you to see what humility can do where pride wants to stop us, right? So I'm sitting, and I'm trying to enjoy the Bible, but I'm not focused. I'm kind of drifting because I feel sorry for myself. Wonderful me, you know. And the next minute, I look, and the chair right on the right of me is the one that's empty. And the next minute, I see this hand just opening up like that. And I recognize the hand because it's got a hole in it. And I'm looking at this hand, and I'm going, and I know he wants me to hold his hand. And I'm thinking, oh, this is so weird right now. This is so weird right then. I'm like, but I'm thinking, there's no one in the home, so I don't have to, I just don't have to tell anybody, you know. So, but you get that pride wants to stop you from that. Pride wants you to go, oh no, you know, that's just stupid, don't do it. You know, because it's too weird. But I see it. Well, what if it's your imagination? Well, what if it's not? So I see this hand, and I'm going, Lord, okay, you know, nobody's watching, I'm just going to do it. So I just go and I put my hand in his hand. And the minute that I did it, I don't know what happened to me, but something broke on my inside. And literally for the next half an hour, I just sobbed, like ugly cried for half an hour. I'm just going, everything, it felt like a year, 2 years, just battles and difficulty, just, whoa, just flushed out of me. And I'm just weeping and I'm just feeling his presence and I'm feeling just the king just holding my hand, just going, I've got you, it's okay. It was him washing my feet a little bit. And I got healing right there. No debriefing, no counseling, no nothing. Just an encounter with the Lord. And I'm grateful. It's not my fault. I don't know how that works. It's not my fault. I'm just grateful that I wasn't so filled with pride that I went, nah. But I was humble enough to see that hand reach out and go, this is what I need. You know? Humility positions us for the glory. Humility positions us for the supernatural. Humility positions us for revelation. Humility positions you for healing in your relationships, in your marriages, with your children, with your people at work. Humility is what's going to turn a nation upside down, because he gives grace to the humble. Grace. I need more grace. I don't know about you. But I want all the grace I can get. And when I mean grace, I mean empowerment. Empowerment. Because grace is forgiveness and all of that, but it's also empowerment. I need all the empowerment I can get. I need that grace to flow from the throne room onto me every day so that I'm strengthened in what I do and what I face. The battles that I face every day, the challenges that I face, the challenges that we face as a nation. If I don't have that river of grace flowing onto me, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to be bitter, negative, horrible person to be around. But if I can just be humble enough and say, Lord, wash my feet, hold my hand, show me your glory, that's going to make me, going to cause me to keep going. We've got to get this right, church. We've got to get this right. And it looks different for all of us. You know, every now and again I stand and I go, wow, God is really moving. Like, awesome stuff is happening. Miracles are happening. I mean, we had an amazing miracle yesterday with you. I haven't even spoken. Like a 34-year knee injury that got healed and she hasn't had pain. I mean, stuff is happening. And every now and again, I just feel the Lord say, don't mess this up. Stay low. Stay low. Don't touch my glory. Stay low. You know, let me do what I want to do. You just, because you're not that special in any way. You are, but you're not. I'm talking about me. Right? I want to ask you this morning, where can you go lower? Right? Have we stagnated? Because listen, we've had a dead rising 5 years ago. And I go, that's awesome. But surely, is that it? Because pride can go, oh, we have a dead rising. Humility goes, oh, we have one. How do I get two? How do I get 10? How do I get 100? How do I position myself for the more of God? Right? I'm saying this because you have stories in your life with God too. Provision, healing, whatever it might be. And we hold it up as a banner unto the Lord, which you have to do. That's the right thing to do. But that banner cannot become the ultimate. That banner was a sign of that there is more available. How did you get to that place? You humbled yourself before the Lord and he moved on your behalf. Don't let his movement create pride in your life. Because then we're done. Then we're done. Right? So I want to challenge you this morning. How do we position our hearts in a fresh way in humility before the Lord? What can you lay down once again? How can we say again, Lord, have mercy on me? That issue that you have with that person, I know they're always wrong, I get it. because we're right. But let's say just a little bit more humility. What would that do? Could it fix the problem? They're still wrong, I know. But could it fix the problem? It's like somebody, they like wanted to get involved in an issue that we had in our ministry. And I mean, we did have an issue. We made mistakes. We repented. We apologized. I repented over and over and over again. And this person from the outside, they have no clue what's going on. They spoke to one of the parties and they decide, you know, that's it. That's the way it is. I'm like, you haven't even spoken to us. You have no idea what happened to us as well in the story. You just decide, that's it, done. I'm like, that's crazy. That's unwise, and it's prideful because you think you know, based on one side of a story. It's ridiculous. Right? It's arrogant to think you can elevate yourself above this thing and sort it out from the outside without knowing what's going on. That's crazy. Humility would go, okay, what happened to you? Okay, what happened? How can I mediate this thing? How can we bring people together? How can we facilitate reconciliation? How can we do this stuff? And it takes humility. It takes somebody that's not so fijn gesnaar, that you can't speak to them. You know? We've got to humble ourselves. Get over ourselves. Seriously, get over ourselves. And let Him be who He wants to be. Right? Let's stand together. All right. Just close your eyes for a moment. And I just want to make this invitation, or just create a moment where you just go with the Lord and we just lay stuff down at His feet. And just say, Lord, forgive my pride. Maybe you, without knowing, you realize, man, I stagnated in my walk with the Lord because, you know, I thought I had it figured out. My relationships are dry because I thought I had it figured out. And pride just kept building in our hearts and we just didn't move forward. And some of us just need to go, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I lay it down. What I want you to do for a moment is just repent. And then for a moment, start thanking Him. And I want all of us to do that together. I want you to thank Him for your life. Thank Him for the fact that you are alive today. That you have breath in you. That you have a gift. That you have a job. That you have children. That you have a wife. That you have awesome friends. That you have a church. That you have legs that's kind of working. And if they don't work, you have arms that's working. But we all have something that's working. And we're breathing today. And we're alive today. And humility goes, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the success of my business. Thank you for whatever it is. It is the goodness of the Lord that did this in our lives. And we humble ourselves. Thank you that I can prophesy. Do you remember how badly you wanted to prophesy and then one day you started? And now we're like, oh, we prophesy. No, it's awesome the fact that I can do it. What a privilege. What a privilege to move in the gifts of God. What a privilege to share God's word with people or to have a loaf of bread to give to somebody. Just let's humble ourselves in His presence. Just go, Lord, thank you for everything. Thank you for who you made me to be. And then you go, I don't like myself. He likes you. He actually likes you. He likes who He made you. He rejoices over you. That's what Scripture says. And He sings over you, Zephaniah 3:17. And we just humble again in the presence of the Lord, just going, Lord, I count everything as grace. Everything is grace, Jesus, and we just want to say that to you this morning. It's all grace. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from the Father of lights. It does not change. Lord, I thank you for life, for breath. More than anything, I thank you for salvation. Thank you that you saved me, that I'm born again, that I have eternal life rushing through me. And it's all because you humbled yourself and came to the earth. Lord, may I be like you. May your nature be found in me. May I be humble and gentle, yet full of the truth and boldness and authority. I want you to say, Lord, forgive me where I've backed down from following your word or thinking your call is too big, it's not possible. Lord, have mercy on me. I want to do what you told me to do. I want to love like you loved. Help me with that in the name of Jesus. Some of you, you have wounds, you have hurt, and I want you to allow the Lord to just reach his hand out to you. Some of you got stung in the last couple of years. Man, you're hurting. Just like me on that little chair having a coffee. You're just hurting. And the hand of the Lord is stretched out to you, and he's going, just put your hand in my hand. Just put your hand in my hand. And some of you just need to go, man, it hurt what they did at work to me. It hurt this. It, you know, stuff just happened. And just let the Lord touch you. And if you want to do a prophetic action, just stretch out your hand or hang your hand next to you and just squeeze a little as if you're holding his. And just say, Jesus, just wash my feet. Just touch me. Thank you, Jesus. Just touch me. Heal our hearts. Heal our hearts, Lord. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you want to sit down and have a moment with him in that, you're welcome. Just do it. If you want to stand, just do it. But don't, let's just hang a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sure. Wow. He really is washing some of your feet because there's dust that needs to be removed from the past couple of years. And let him just wash it. Let him just remove the insult and the strain. Refresh our walk this morning, Lord. Yeah. Refresh our walk with you this morning in humility. Refresh our hearts. That heart of flesh that you prophesied about, it's about a soft heart. It's a humble heart. We want a humble heart in your presence. We don't want to lift our hearts in your presence. We give you all the glory, all the glory, all the glory in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know what? I want to share, Hanley, is it okay if I mention your testimony a little bit? So I want to mention, you can sit down again real quick, all right, if you want to. Don't go out of the moment, please. Just want to share this, and then we're going to pray together for you guys, for healing. But Hanley, I mean, we're going to see what's happening, but I believe the Lord touched her. She's saying it, so... It's a 34-year issue, am I right, with your knee, a knee issue that she's had. So it's constantly there. It got worse with a fall about 2 years ago. But it's amazing. And you can tell it at another point. But she actually shared just about how the Lord started speaking to her at some point about repenting because she kind of just accepted this thing that doesn't heal. Am I saying it right? Is that the right phrasing? Yeah. And when was that? In the beginning of the year. Isn't that amazing? Where the Lord just kind of said to her, I need you to repent because you just kind of accepted this thing as, and you know, as like, this is the way it is and it's not going to change and just live with it. And I get that you need to, you know, live, but there's a difference in what she spoke about. It's so beautiful. And then she repented of it. And that's why yesterday when you know, I gave the wrong side of the knee for the word of knowledge. It was one is right or left, not that far out, come on. And when she came out, and the Lord touched the thing that's been an issue for 34 years. Isn't that phenomenal? And that repentance is also humility. It's humbling yourself in front of the ability of the Lord. Just saying, Lord, just do this. And I want us to pray for healing this morning. But I kind of want to do it in the light of this humility thing a little bit. Because, listen, I mean, we have people in our movement on that side in our churches. I mean, we've been praying for them for 7 years now. They're still not healed. It's frustrating. So even I'm going, oh, you know, like you don't want to, because just it kind of hurts. It's like you want to see it happen. But a friend of mine, he has this testimony of where they kept praying for someone for 28 years. And then they got the breakthrough after 28 years. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, you know, hopefully it's not 28 years, but do I have what it takes to keep on praying for someone for 28 years to be humble enough and not go into self-preservation? Because that's what we do. I'm not going to pray for you anymore because every week I pray and you're not getting better. So I'm starting to have doubt. So I'm just not going to go there. I'm just not seeing it, you know. Or can we humble ourselves enough and go, it's not about me. It's about the Lord and His glory. And He said by His stripes, we were healed, were. Yeah. So I want us to pray for healing this morning. And we're going to do it a bit different. You're just going to sit in your chair. But I want you to just go and say, I want us to acknowledge this before the Lord. So who needs healing in their body? Let's start with that. Just raise your hand nice and high that we can see it. All right. Okay. All right. So I want us to just make this declaration together. Can we do that? Just say, Lord Jesus, we humble ourselves before you. You are the healer. And by your stripes, we were healed. Lord, I go against my feelings this morning. My faith is in your word. Would you come and touch me? Refresh me. Heal me this morning. In the name of Jesus. So just put your hand up again if you're wanting healing this morning. Just keep it up. Right? Just I want you, if you see, even if the person next to you's hand is up as well, let's just put hands on everybody who's got a hand up. Even if your hand is up as well, it's okay. Right? Because everybody's in the ministry team. You guys need to put hands on Umkhari as well. He raised his hand. Yeah. All right. So what we're going to do now is we're going to administer healing, right? And the word said that you will heal the sick. So let's just do that right now. Okay? Even if you don't feel like you're the greatest healing gift in the room, doesn't matter. He is. Right? So I want you to start releasing the healing power of God over that person. And how do you do it? You just speak it. So Lord, we just declare healing over every condition in this room right now. We stand on what the word says. We stand on what the word did. We stand on what you accomplished with your resurrection. And we declare healing in this room in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name.